Nothing is being looked for so much by many and many people, both religious and non-religious people,
and
barely religious people. They are looking for miracles, miracles and miracles. So leave your thoughts about salvation, about an eternity, about heaven. We need everything now. We need a miracle. That's what we need, as Dostoevsky wrote. Miracles and authorities. We have nothing else. So it is important for everyone to read the novel about the great inquisitor in the Brethren Karamazov novel by Dostoevsky. He writes in a very good way. Do you know how Ignatiy Brezhnev writes about these things? He quotes the Holy Fathers. He writes that people aspired for miracles, and in final times this aspiration will become stronger when everyone will be looking for miracles, because miracles bring me good on the earth. So a good on the earth means that I can punish someone whom I think is to blame. So we are facing the thing. If there is God, there is miracle. So the history of Christianity is full of miracles. At the same time, alongside with this, another thing exists. Fake miracles. So just recall the miracles by Moses, and the Bible does not reject these miracles. The Bible does not say that these miracles were false miracles, and Jesus Christ said that they will bring miracles. What is the difference between false miracles and real miracles? That is the question. Now we respect the Baptist Nicholas, starting from the 4th century, because he was creating real miracles. What are they, real miracles? What are they, false miracles? We sometimes think that false miracles are imaginable miracles. In fact, there was no miracle. Yeah, they do exist. We're not going to talk about the nature of them. How and the way we can understand the words by Cassian the Roman. In the name of Jesus Christ, the great miracles and signs are created. By whom? By those who reject the religion. In the Gospel, Jesus Christ came to his motherland. Rumors started spreading straight away. Aren't there his relatives, his brothers, his sisters among us? They started asking who he was, and the words came. And he did not do many miracles because they did not believe him. It is important to pay attention to the fact that miracles, apart from their objectiveness, have subjectiveness. So it is very important how a person perceives this or that event. So it concerns a miracle done by the holy person, how he treats this miracle. When one of the disciples asked Jesus Christ to let him bury his relatives, his fathers, Jesus Christ said very strange words. He prohibited, he didn't let him go, and he said, "Let the dead bury their dead." So the words are staggering. But in this case, these words speak volumes. A person may be very far from what we call a spiritual life. He doesn't have anything but the interests in this earthly, mundane life. So the life which will end in an instant, but he doesn't want to see this. So just pay attention how many miracles Jesus Christ was creating in front of those people who did not only accept him, but also rejected him. Just remember when he entered the synagogue and there was a man with a withered hand and they started rumoring whether he will create a miracle. He told him, stand in the center, stretch your hand, and he did. So what was the result? He healed. So they were in fury and instantly they decided to kill him. So just look, the miracle may influence a person, the same miracle depending upon his spiritual state. Alexei Ilyich, you're talking about the miracle which can be accepted and not accepted by a person. So the notion of the miracle is very subjective, false or true miracle. So what do we mean by a false miracle? Let's suppose that I were given papers instead of money. So I seemed to be receiving money, but in fact they were papers. So I was humbugged. But where was this humbug? So I am a person in whose hands money becomes papers. The point is that if this miracle doesn't bring me benefit, this miracle becomes a false one for me because it brings me into the state of not salvation, not healing. But the point is that it depends upon our own spiritual state. So whether this miracle be with me or not. So it turns out that in fact the miracle does not exist. Holy Fathers write about this in such a way. John Chrysostom writes, what is the right criteria of holiness? Are the miracles criteria of holiness? No, not miracles, but the holy life of those who create these miracles. John Chrysostom says in this way, but the attitude towards the holy person can be different, and the holy person can create the true miracle, but people may not accept. When we speak about Saint Nicholas, he was the real God's saint. I remember the words by Apostle Paul that there is one spirit but different talents. Someone has got the talent of teaching, the talent of miracle making. So Saint Nicholas really had the talent of miracle making, as well as John Kronstadt. He was a unique personality. Volumes of books were written about him. There are actually millions of cases of miracle making, but all of them make a person face the reality. It's not a magician who made a miracle and that's it. A person has to choose how to accept the miracle. So, the true miracle was made by a person in case his life changed, when he repented, when he addressed God, when he started to lead the Christian way of life. And there were lots of such miracles with Saint Nicholas, but as usual, there were people who rejected these miracles. So remember the unique miracle in Samara, Zoya's petrification. There were many witnesses about of this. Yeah, what happened then? So many people started buying crosses, many people started going to the churches, but other people rejected this miracle. Saint Nicholas is addressed by different people. There were many cases when he was rescuing people in the sea and on the earth. Where would people address him? So, in all the places, because the spirit does not have earthly limits, we get united to the saint, not touching him physically, but with our prayer, with our repentance. Only in this case we receive healing. We may touch the relics but get nothing. Remember, Jesus Christ was walking. Only one bleeding woman healed herself. But at the same time, he was pushed by many people. Everyone is pushing you, Jesus Christ. Who touched you? So this is the attitude towards an outer touch. Only belief and humility, only belief and changes in our lives are the means of getting salvation from God. God willing that we treat these things in this way, but we did not think that an outer touch could give us something. But if this outer touch is without any goodwill, it might serve us. Condemnation about which Apostle Paul is writing. What condemnation may a person resort to who without humility comes to Holy Sacrament and get communion? Alexei Ilyich, as you said, that we can address Saint Nicholas any time, so it doesn't mean that we have to touch his relics. And for those people who try to refer such attitude towards God, such attitude towards Eucharist, because participation in the Eucharist is obligatory for every man. So these are different things. Eucharist is established by Jesus Christ himself. A person joins in flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. A person becomes unified in soul and in flesh. And here we are speaking about only about the way we join in God's grace. And in this case, this joining in depends purely upon a person's spiritual state. If he thinks that he touches something and he gets something, he is mistaken. If a person is not going to change his life, is there any use? It's the same as touching the cross without a certain attitude. In view of the above said, can we consider Saint Nicholas someone who is a wonder, not only for Christians, but also for Muslims, and the miracles are done by him. So in spite of the fact that the miracles can be false, the miracles go on. So the revelation of God's love is put upon everyone through the Christian saint in connection with this. Why Saint Nicholas? So can you give us any clue upon this? Not Thomas from Aquin, the Saint Nicholas is spraying God's grace upon every one, including Muslims and the representatives of other religions. So why is it very difficult to say? Because I have said that Saint Nicholas turned out to be a unique personality in whom there was the humility, the purity, which could enable him to do this. John Chrysostom has got another gift. Others may have the gifts of clairvoyance. Everyone has got his own gift. Why can't we say anything about this? So remember John Kronstadt. He's a wonderful saint. So he is not so well known as the Saint Nicholas, but God wants to put grace upon everyone. So where a person can has the slightest possibility to address him, God is ready to give such a gift to a person, even in particular through Saint Nicholas, for every person. In this regard, he was a wonderful person. So if we are looking only for a miracle from him, we may find ourselves in a bad situation. Cursed is every work of God with negligence. And when we, as written by the saint people, we ask God for dirt, for sleaze, you know what the circumstances will be. These are the warnings. So we have the relics brought to us. Be very careful. Be very careful with touching them. So you help me get rid of selfishness. So if there is such an attitude towards the relics, it's a rare thing. People do not need it. All the pagancy is looking for miracles. If we step on this very way, it's going to be very bad. Saint Nicholas, help me get rid of this envy. Oh no, what kind of envy? I need another thing. I need to get an A mark to be enrolled to the university, to get married. That's what I actually need. That's the point. I need to land a decent job. Anything but this. By the way, I can tell you, God sees that we need all this. He does not condemn this. He taught us, give us this day our daily bread. But what's the attitude must be? God, I know that you're ready to give me everything I need. I know this. I believe this. But let there be your will. I trust you. The Saint Nicholas, help me be sure of it. Let the will of God reign. But not like this. So give me, God, that my knee will recover. So let your will be. I'm not gonna say this. You just have mercy upon me. This is a wonderful phrase. Have mercy upon me. I wholly depend upon you. Saint Nicholas, help me in this my belief. not to trespass, not to lose my way. Saying what I get might be to my detriment. This is the question. How can we treat miracles which happen in other religions? And the miracle is the miracle because we cannot explain this. And how can we treat a Christian when we see inexplicable things? They are coming from God, but at the same time they contradict our belief. So can we explain this miracle to a person of a different religion? The point is that the Holy Fathers say that the biggest advantage is reasoning, but the reasoning is based not upon my being wise, but the reasoning is based upon the Holy Father's explanation. So we need to understand the foundation of the miracle. Does the miracle correspond to the basis which are known to the Church? So the question is how to treat the miracles which are happening outside the limits of the Orthodox Church. The question is very interesting and important. The answer might be like this. There are two moments. The first one is, we have to take into account that God loves everyone in an equal way, in the equal love. Everyone. He loves everyone, including his enemies, including people who punished him. So both the saints and reverence. He does not differentiate between people. He is love. It's like our eyes can look at both ugly and beautiful. So the godly love concerns all the people. So here is the conclusion. If God sees that this is useful, regardless of the fact whether a person is a Christian or not, if it's useful, he can do miracles, like Isaac Sirin was writing. God doesn't do anything to revenge. He looks upon the benefit his actions might cause. And another thing which is very important, we sometimes have no idea how to value this or that phenomenon. It looks like a real miracle. We have no idea how to treat this thing. The answer of the Holy Fathers is, do not blaspheme and do not take. So remain indifferent. Do not blaspheme. Well, what if this is the act of God, but do not take? Maybe it's an act of devil. So be cold, be indifferent. I have no idea. That's it. So we must not take passionately these miracles. The Holy Fathers admonish us against it. Do not look for miracles. Look for repentance. Look for salvation. We must not look for miracles. Those people who start looking for miracles would resort into the false state. The person will not be looking for God, will not be looking for salvation of his soul. So he will be looking for miracles which would probably do it. Do not blaspheme, but do not take. There is no going forward and returning backwards. Remain as you are. You have no idea. That's it. So put up with this and understand this.